Hello, friends. This section is going to be about protecting ourselves. There are people out there that aren't Christ. They don't follow his teachings. Even though, as we see things written down in the Word of God, and we're to take them as face value, there are people who do not do that. They don't have the Spirit of God inside of them, leading them, teaching them, and opening up the Word to them so that they can understand it fully. These people are out there, and there are others out there who do not wish to know God, but in their own vain minds, they try to puff themselves up with knowledge, you know, and look at the Word of God like it's any other book out there. And that's all they see are just cracks, pieces, and they don't understand. So they come up with these logical points that they think is right, but they're far off. You know, they don't have the Spirit of God working in them to bring those things that they see together. And then there are those who just don't understand God at all and aren't searching the right way for him. But they imagine all sorts of things, and basically demons are speaking to them, giving them ideas, leading many people astray. These people are out there, and we have to protect ourselves from them. Because not our faith is fragile, but we as humans have a tenuous hold on things in our heart. You know, our heart is always seeking, you know, to not be with God. And we're easily led astray. So that's why we have to be disciplined in the things of God. We have to stand firm in the things of God. We have to read for ourselves things and not always listen, you know, take other people's word as fact, but we have to read them and soak it in ourselves and let the Spirit speak to us, you know, to confirm what we hear. And this is good, you know, this is good when you can look into the Word of God and see for yourself, then you'll know it. You're not following after man and his ideas. You'll see it for yourselves. Basically what this is, we're just going to go over some scripture about protecting ourselves. And we want to start off in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to go to verses 2 through 5. You know, I just want to say that God will protect us. You know, he is looking out for us. And at times he gives us little unctions in our spirit that says, this isn't right. Someone may say something to us that just, it just doesn't sound right. You know, it doesn't sit right. You know, and listen, at those times, listen to yourself. You know, listen to the Spirit of God. Because, you know, he's there to protect us. He's there to lead us into all truth and knowledge. So, and we do have to understand that there is an enemy out there that's ready to destroy us. And he's just ready right there to pounce on anything that we may do to try to twist it, you know, to try to put us down or to try to make us feel guilty. But God is bigger than that. He's greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Basically, God gives us the tools to fight that. You know, God is a good God, and He's not going to let us down. That's why He's given us His word. Alright, so this is Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 to 5. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. And Paul goes on to speak about his achievements in his past life. But here, in verse 3, he says, we who serve God by His Spirit. Now, we know that we have given our lives to Christ. We have given our lives over to Him. And we trust Him to guide us by His Spirit. We trust Him to guide us into all truth, into all knowledge, and to have wisdom to serve Him. You know, in later lessons, or, you know, I'm not sure where you're, what, in what order you're going through the lessons, but we've learned that, you know, trusting in God is paramount, and humbling ourselves before God is paramount. And if we do those things, He'll lift us up, He'll protect us. So we don't have to be anxious for anything in this life. But, you know, just as Paul is pointing out to us, you know, we have to watch out for, he calls them dogs, basically. You know, and that's how some of them are. When they run in packs, they attack when there's opportunity. But we have to make sure that our boasting is in Christ. You know, we have to make sure that the things we do are not in the flesh. Meaning, you know, they're not something that we've come up with. It's not something that we plan. It's something that we receive from God that He wants us to do. You know, we're not walking in the things that we want to do. We're not walking in the flesh, I guess I should say. And we go down here, here in verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Now remember that. Their mind is set on earthly things. Here is one aspect where we have over them. This is one aspect, you know, of our walk that we have that gives us strength, is setting our minds not on earthly things, but things above. Things that are eternal. You know, things that are pure, things that are holy, things that are just, things that have good repute. Paul talks about that, I think it's later on in Philippians, I think. But setting our minds is important because it gets our eyes off of the things around us. It gets our eyes on God, because that's where we find our strength. But our citizenship, this is going on in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. You know, that's our hope. That's where our lives rest. That helps us escape this world. That is what gives us peace. That's where our righteousness is in Christ, basically. That is who we're focused on as we walk. We're not paying attention to the things that are around us. Even though everything tries to get our attention and tries to get our eyes off of the mark, it's through determination and discipline that we focus on Christ that everything else fades away. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. That's not something we have right now. That's something we try to practice out. We have His Spirit. We have His power. And this is something that God has given us to practice out, to exercise in this life. This is something God wants us to do, is become dead in this life so that Christ can be alive in us. We're basically living out Christ's resurrection in our bodies right now. That's what we are purposed to be doing, basically. This is our purpose, is living out Christ's resurrection in our bodies. We have His power to overcome anything in our lives that are setting us back. And even when we are set back, we have forgiveness from Father to help us to get back up and keep going and not look behind at where we fell, but we get back up. Turn our heads toward heaven and keep going. Always keep going. Alright, let's go to Matthew. And we're going to go to chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to go to verse 34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. This is Jesus Christ talking. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. That's deep. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So, basically, I want to go back up to the first part of that, where Jesus says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Now, as far as protecting us, you know, as far as protecting our faith, becoming a new Christian, there are going to be times, there's going to be times when our past life is going to come back to confront us. Members in our own family are not going to understand the decisions that we are going to be making from here on out. They probably don't understand the decision that you've made to be saved or to follow Christ. You know, whether it be your husband or your wife or your mother or your father or a child. But they're not going to understand because obviously they don't see God the way you see God now. God has become alive. And the sword that Jesus says that he brought is his word. You know, that is the dividing line between us and them, is his word. His word is truth. And a lot of people aren't going to accept that. Obviously, a lot of people aren't going to believe the way we believe. That Jesus is the only way. There's going to be a lot of heartache there. But if we stand firm in Christ, we get a greater reward than what we will ever have on this earth. And we're going to have to be careful because we can't turn around and placate them. You know, let go of Christ, turn around to them and compromise. There's no compromise. It's just black and white now. There's no more gray. Either you're with Christ and a servant, or you're not with Christ and you're a servant of the evil one. It's one or the other. So this is the dividing line. You know, this is some of the tribulations that we're going to have in our life is the separation. The separation that we're going to have to do in order to maintain and protect the faith that's in us. We're going to have to be separate. We're going to have to be separate and sanctified in order to grow in Christ. He's going to have a place in our hearts that is high and on a pedestal and above everything in our lives. Everything in our lives. Everything in us. Everything else is going to have to fall by the wayside. Where, like he says, then we're not, if we don't do that, then we're not worthy of him. So it's down to choices. Are we going to choose to be disciplined? Or are we going to buckle and fall to the darkness of this world? And it sounds simple. It sounds very simple. But these things cut. They cut. To, you know, they separate flesh from spirit, basically, like his word. They separate us inside. They separate us outside, too. Here we lose family members, and our enemies we gain. Yeah, that's a work of love there. Alright, let's go on to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 15, and we're going to go to verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. And here, Paul is coming against the teaching that, you know, there's no resurrection of the dead. It's just something that the Corinthians, you know, were going through at that time. You know, certain people were saying there is no such thing as a resurrection. And he was confronting that, saying that if there's no resurrection, then Christ hasn't resurrected. You know, and we're to be pitied because here we're putting our trust in this man who is actually dead, who has not risen. But, in verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So that's the truth. You know, he confronts it with truth. And there are going to be times in our lives where, you know, we're going to have to come against false teachings. We're going to have to stand firm in what we read in the Word of God and what we know to be true against those who are purporting, you know, something false. Something that is driving people away from God. Something is, you know, someone who is causing people to go to hell. It's up to us to, you know, to stop, not chase after those people, but to stand up and speak truth and not go along. You know, God will give us wisdom in what to say. So we don't have to be fearful. You don't have to fear, oh my gosh, what's the verse? What's the verse I need? We don't need that. We have the Holy Spirit in us that will bring the utterances back to us. We just have to trust that he will speak to us or through us. And we'll say the right things. We just have to step out in faith, on our faith, and speak and stand up for the truth. But I just want to point out that this is just one teaching, you know, out of many out there that are not right. And here, this is kind of like the young church. You know, they're young. They're just now starting to form. You know, Paul is teaching them, you know, hey guys, come on, this isn't a right teaching. You think about this. You know, in a lot of ways, when we're young in Christ, there's going to be a lot out there, a lot of pitfalls waiting. And actually, there are a lot of pitfalls that many young Christians have fallen into. You know, young Christians have been lost. Number one, because they have not rooted themselves in the Word of God. They don't know who they are in Christ. So I just want to say to you, you know, read the Word of God. You don't have to take, you know, my words for anything. I'm just, you know, showing you around the Word of God, you know, highlighting different passages for you. It's up to you to have this soak into your spirit. It's up to you to read this and to pray to God and seek God It's up to you to get His word into your heart. Okay. We're going to go on to Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 6. And here's another young church that Paul had to wake up. Verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, then let them be under God's curse. Right now the Galatians are under a lot of pressure from a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees there to follow, you know, the laws, old Jewish laws. And a lot of them were falling back into it. Something which Christ already accomplished and freed us from. They're going back to it to practice. That's not freedom. And Paul said that basically to them. It's not under grace. God gives us grace in Christ. Basically, we are righteous in Him. So we don't have to do anything to become more righteous or to stay in God's grace. We're already righteous, and we have to work in righteousness to do God's work, basically. So basically, what He's done is He got us up out of the mud, He washed us off, cleaned us, basically, gave us new clothing, and set us on a pathway, and told us to walk down that pathway. Now what some people are doing is they're saying, you know, after they've gotten cleaned up and they're walking down this pathway, they see another pathway. Oh, you know, that's going up higher. You know, that's going up higher into the sky. Maybe I should follow that pathway, you know, because this pathway that I'm following, you know, it's not, I know God told me to go down this pathway, but that one looks more challenging. Maybe God wants me to do that. Maybe God wants me, you know, to be challenged in this walk. So, you know, I can be better prepared. So I can be stronger. No. Be under God's grace. Do what He tells us to do. His yoke is light. We're under His grace. There's no more that we have to do in order to come into God's graces, but to follow Christ and to be in Him and to obey. That's it. If we're following Christ, we're doing the work of God. Okay, that's where works come from. We're doing the work of God. We're obeying Him. But we're already righteous. You see, so there's nothing we have to do to become righteous or to become more righteous because He's already done that. He's already fulfilled the law. So if anyone comes to us, you know, telling us, you know, about a certain way that we should behave, a certain way that we should be dressing, things that, you know, you shouldn't be drinking that, or you shouldn't be eating that. You know, God's law told us not to eat pork. Really? I mean, this is just an example. You can do it what you want. But, okay, but we're not under that law. The things in the earth are God's. We eat them, they give us, our body, fuel, and we expel them. The only thing that defiles a man is what's in a man's heart and comes out of his mouth. That defiles a man. Not what he eats. Not what he wears. So be careful. We'll finish this up on the next lesson. You take care.